from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, yeah, we are halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Such a pleasure to be here with all of you. Happy Yu Darvish Day to all who celebrate. I do. I will be celebrating Yu Darvish Day in my house tonight, certainly. Great to be here with you guys, though. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo. He's the executive producer. Ben Higgins, you look like you have something to say. You're moving your hands
a
lot.
I just wanted to.
When I see that out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, "Oh God, I better hurry! I gotta hurry! I gotta hurry!"
He's doing
it. He's like, I'm starting it up.
I just know you have something to bring up, and I wanted to finish a story from yesterday because we did it at 8 o'clock.
Okay,
talked about my 20-year anniversary at Channel 10.
Oh God, did you get in trouble?
No, well, not in trouble. Remember, we talked about it yesterday, and I mentioned it's coming up next week.
Next week.
Well, our news director, my boss, called me in a panic.
Oh my God.
Yesterday afternoon, go, did we miss your 20-year anniversary? Someone said you were talking about it on the radio. And I go, no. You haven't missed
week.
It. It's next week. You're good. She said, well, okay. I thought maybe we had missed it. And I didn't want to think you to think that we had missed your 20-year anniversary. I go, Sarah, don't worry about it. We're fine. You don't need to do anything for me. I just mentioned that it was coming up. I saw it on the screen at Channel 10 that it was my 20-year anniversary month, but technically it was September 12th. And she said, I looked it up. It's September 12th. And I go, yeah, I know. You didn't miss it. You're good. But I guess they're on top of it. So
Ben's like, my radio show literally forgot my birthday last year, so nothing would surprise me. Still, November 3rd of last year goes down as one of the worst days of my life. It's one of the lowest moments, and I've like picked up cigarettes off the sidewalk.
You realize.
You know what I mean?
It was like the best birthday present you could have given me is giving me something to lord over you.
That's true. That's true.
Giving forever.
You already have
the perfect present.
You already have the Cavs.
Oh, remember that time you forgot my birthday, Woods? I've got that forever.
I swear to God,
it's the
man.
Best present.
I swear to God, people thought it was a joke. It was a bit. And I, on my children's lives, we had no idea. And I will never forget him looking at us going, well, coming up next, this is kind of awkward, but I guess I need to address something.
We went to break.
What is he talking about?
Ben was, SD Fat Loss live commercial or something, and I go, come over here. And I go, is it his effing birthday today?
Just
went, oh my God.
On the lives of my children, I walked into work that day with no idea that it was my beloved radio soulmate.
Like 8:30.
It was at 8. It was like right at the reset.
8.
Yeah. And I just went, I can't believe it. I was legitimately, it was one of the worst. It was one of the lowest moments of my life.
Brother, well, I was waiting November for 2 hours it. For the shoe to drop.
Right.
Like,
some stripper to walk in or something.
To just surprise me with something over the top that's going to embarrass me. And then after half the show was done, I'm going, maybe it's not actually coming.
Yeah,
it's
just Woods confirmed terrible friend. I mean, I
felt so bad.
That's 96 to the ribs, and I'll wear that. How do you forget your buddy, your radio soulmate's birthday? Just a tough, tough look. But
November 3rd is on a Sunday this year, so that Friday,
yeah,
just get ready, Benny.
Yeah, it's on.
Birthday month.
Hopefully,
starts
we're
November
still hungover from a World Series parade.
You're not allergic to like baby oil or honey or anything, are you?
Sounds both slippery and sticky.
It's
going to
be
fantastic.
So I just want to get a couple things. Any allergies I need to be aware of? Shellfish or anything?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Because you're going to have a good day. You're going to have a really good day. Wanted to, once again, let everybody know our pal Tom, a.k.a. Welsh Fryer, is in studio this morning. Tom, welcome again to San Diego and the States. Oh, the Welsh national anthem. Do you guys have to stand for your national anthems?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Only if there's a flag present, right? Okay. Is that just American?
All right, get right up on the mic. Karate chop away. There you go. So how's it going? How's your trip?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Yesterday was crazy. It's beautiful here. I went to L.A. It's disgusting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm loving every moment of it.
Now, you're 18 years old.
Yeah,
sadly. A babe in the woods.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You can buy cigarettes. You can, I think you can. Can you? Yeah, you can buy cigarettes. Yeah, yeah.
Lottery tickets. Can, go ahead.
Lottery tickets. Play all the lottery you want.
Yeah.
Here.
Scratchers.
Cool. You can.
Powerball.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah, all of it.
You can do everything that you want there.
You what can else? Join our military if you
could.
Want. Fight for our country.
What about? Is it 18 or 21?
Probably 21.
All right. Sorry.
Can't rent a car.
Can't rent a car.
That's 25. You're many years away
you're
from that.
Many years away from that. Any. Now, you're a single man.
Yeah.
Any American ladies catch your fancy?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Don't be coy. This is not the place to be coy.
You been to the beach?
Yeah, I have.
Black's Beach is really nice. You'll like Black's Beach
today.
Go to Black's Beach. It's really great. Right, Ben?
Not really.
That's like the ninth green at midnight trick. Yeah, yeah. Do
that. It's beautiful.
It's an all-nude beach.
Go during the day.
It's not.
But in Europe, that's where all the beaches are like topless beaches.
I don't
right?
know that they are in Wales.
Aren't they
I don't
not?
Know that you'd want to see a bunch of Welsh people nude on their beaches.
Do you guys
right?
have nude beaches?
I haven't heard of one or seen one yet.
Okay,
so. It's too cold to even like undress. I think in Wales
true.
For most of
that's
the time.
True.
So,
what's the weather like in Wales right now?
Terrible,
terrible, miserable.
It's probably not too bad at the moment. It could be raining.
64, cloudy, very high.
That's the middle of summer.
Yeah.
It's just dull. We've had a bad summer. It's boring.
Is it boring there?
Yeah. That's why I want to live out here.
So you do have an interest in moving out here?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Something in sports. Like I'm doing sports journalism for college now, just going into it. So I want to hopefully use that to move over here and do something over here.
And what's your favorite sport? Baseball?
Yeah, baseball. 100%.
By far.
Yeah.
And we talked to you like a year ago or something, the first time we ever met you, and we thought, man, this is nuts, because this guy will get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and do Ben and Woods live streams with us. He obviously watches the games over there, which is just an insane schedule. You can't do it when you're in your 40s or in your 30s even. You got a few more years left. You need to be here for your health to be able to watch the sport that you love.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been up, you know, 3, 4, 5, especially during big moments as well. Musgrove's no hitter. That was at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Good God.
Yeah, just like, it's 4 p.m., 4:08 p.m.
okay.
right now. And
so
we're still 10 hours away from first pitch.
Over there.
Right.
Or here, yeah.
First
here,
pitch, yes. Yeah. So whatever the math.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I do need to put the CEO of the San Diego Padres on blast a little bit this morning. Sorry, Eric, if you're listening.
Okay.
But, so we've told you guys earlier in the show, I got an email. Do you know this? I got an email from your dad.
Yeah.
About
yeah,
3 months ago. And I get this email in my Ben and Woods account, and I look at it, and I said, oh my God, Welsh Fryer's dad just reached out. You know, huge power dad move. He writes me, he goes, anything that you could do to enhance his experience, I would really appreciate it. And I said, you know
it's
what?
It's very sweet.
And I said, you know what? I'll do that. So I reached out to my people.
I wish my dad did that.
Paul, you
wish
don't have
your
a dad
did anything at all.
She just emailed
just
me.
Stay out of the conversation. You don't know what you're talking
Paul,
about.
Paul, can you imagine getting an email from your own dad?
No, I can't.
It's wild. So, you best. I hate when you do this to me, man.
I love doing it to you.
I hate it so much. So I reached out. I got it all handled. And talked to Welsh's dad. And he said, I got tickets for this game. And I said, let me get you on the field for batting practice. Least I can do. get them all dialed in. So he's all set. So this morning, Welsh comes in, and I'm sitting there shooting the breeze with him. And I said, all right, so Friday, the big day, you're going to be, you need to show up at this time, in this area. He looks at me, Welsh goes, I think I'm going tonight to do batting practice. I go, excuse me? He said, yeah, Padres CEO Eric Grubner and I spoke yesterday, and I'm going to be down doing batting practice tonight. So Eric Grubner shows up with his perfect beard, his houndstooth jacket, his perfectly coiffed hair, comes right in and takes me and just right behind the knees, just whoa, undercuts me. So now he's going to get down there Friday and be like,
you went to all those lengths for nothing.
For literally nothing. So now, Friday, when he gets down there, he's going to be like, oh, we got to do this again. I got to be down there 4 hours early. Hey, Xander. Yeah, good to see you again. How are you? Nice game. Oh, look, it's Manny Machado. I didn't see you the other day. How are you, bud?
How's the wife?
How's the wife? Kid. I'm like, bro, like, no good deed, man. Just takes just right, like, the bat to the back of the knees. Just, oh! The cane as I'm walking by just yanks me. So, yeah, Welsh looks at me dead in the eye. He goes, I'm actually going to be, I can't do the accent or I try, but he's like, I'm actually doing batting practice down there tonight. Oh, all right. Cool. Cool. So, very cool.
So, if anybody else listening is from Wales and wants to go to batting practice on Friday,
be happy to hook you and your family
up. An opening.
God, man.
Maybe that Padres fan from Italy who was in the chat the other day would like to make it out.
If you get here on Friday, I'm giving Welsh's tickets to you. It is an experience to go down there and watch them hit. I mean, you play baseball. You have a baseball team in Wales. I'm still fascinated by that. It's such a different level when you see these guys hit up close. I mean, it's just the sound, the swings, the violence in which they swing, the beauty of it all, watching them track balls.
It's a spectacle.
Watching them take – it's my favorite thing to do, just watching them take ground balls and stuff before the game, just watching how good they are with their hands, and it's just incredible, man. But well, now you get to go twice.
Yeah.
This is like – you know what me and Eric Grubner are? We're like divorced parents. He's the – that's
right,
what we are. Yeah.
Competing for your child's affection.
Competing for the love of this young Welshman right here. And my ex just swooped right in and was like, Dad's taking you to Disneyland? We're going to the moon. How about that? We're going on a European vacation. Thanks a lot, group dog. So, yeah. Enjoy your double batting practice, I guess. And
a power move.
Such a power move. It's a CEO move, Paulie.
I kind of love
Paulie,
it.
Paulie, that's what a CEO does.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but man, it's
It is
badass.
Such a hard-ass move to make. Yeah.
Welsh, how would you like to be the brand manager of a radio station?
I'll make that happen for you. You know what, Welsh? To one up Eric, I'm going to leave for the day, and I want you to take my spot for the rest of the day.
All right, we will check traffic on Ben and Welsh,
Ben and Welsh.
We'll be right back with more on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, this is not going to come as a huge shock to Woods, but I am not what you would call a big chemistry guy. Now, I don't think I hurt the chemistry on our particular team, but I would say Woods and Paul are definitely the chemistry guys in the room, and I just kind of go along with things.
I thought for a minute you meant like chemistry, like elements.
Oh,
stuff.
I do. Now, I am a big chemistry guy when it comes to the periodic table.
That surprised me. If you said I'm not a big chemistry, I'd be like, are you sure you're not?
No, it's fun. Fun science. Absolutely.
I want to do, at some point, quiz you on the elements.
The periodic table?
Yeah, I would really like to
try. It's been a while since I've studied it, but that would make it more interesting.
All right, so hold on. You're not a big chemistry guy.
Well, you know, you're the guy who you think it's important to do show activities, and you're the one who's driving force
behind.
You don't think that's important?
I don't, really. I think that we can be successful without that.
That hurts my feelings.
Question. All right, let me.
It's fun.
I'll put you on the couch.
Okay.
Right. How many years did you do radio before you met me and Paul?
Many years.
How successful were you?
Not that successful.
Okay. There you go. Asked and answered.
But.
Okay.
Here's my point. I think it's fun. I like you guys a lot, but I think we'd have a good show no matter what. We came in here. You're good at what you do. You have a good attitude when you come in.
Most of the time.
I think I come in with a good attitude.
Great attitude.
And I think that's what makes the show successful. I bring this up because Kevin Acey wrote in the UT today about the Padres' chemistry and how it's changed from last year. And if
it's
you
not
talk
your fault.
You talk to people in the clubhouse, they say it's pretty much night and day.
Yeah.
Not that last year was necessarily a disastrously bad clubhouse where everyone hated each other, but there was no love. There was no that feeling you get when you're all pulling on the same rope.
Sure.
And it's completely different this year. But the guys who have bought in are mostly the guys who were here last year. Yeah. Joe, you, Tatis, Manny, Bogarts, you know, the core people are the ones who have to buy in. They were all here last year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, Jurickson has helped. Jackson Merrill has helped. He wrote about that. But it is amazing how one season and another season, for whatever reason, they've been able to do such a 180 when it comes to the chemistry on this baseball team.
Yeah, I didn't believe in it for a long time either. I really didn't. Until you start to see it work and you start to see it, you start to flourish, you know, having that chemistry. I it's not something you can really force, but you try to, and I think the Padres tried to early last season. Remember the pinatas? I mean, that fizzled like a wet firecracker.
See, now you
man.
Hate forced chemistry.
I hate forced chemistry. I mean, it's hard. They spend 9 months out of the year in really close quarters. Their lockers, while they're bigger than yours in high school, they're still pretty small. And the guy that's sitting next to you is as close as Welsh Fryer is to me. And you're looking at his ass every day, and he's on his phone. And it can drive you nuts if you think about it. Oh, and then guess what? You got to get on a bus. Oh, and then guess what? You got to get on a plane. And there's one guy that's wearing you out, but you kind of got to wear. I mean, it's a lot.
Can't get away from
him. Can't really get away from him. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Do MLB players get their own hotel rooms?
Yes. Yeah, they all have their own room.
I would have assumed so.
Yeah.
I know for a while they all still roomed with each other.
Randy Jones told us about their spread in spring training when he was a player. And it was a cup of soup. They would go work out. I think it was in Yuma. And they would go, it'd be, you know, it's a little
what
bit cooler.
Chunky soup.
So they would go out and run, and then they'd throw, and then they'd do a sim game, and then they would come into the cafeteria, and it would be a styrofoam cup of soup, and they would eat it, and then they go back to work. He comes, he's like, what the hell is it? Got 9 flavors of Gatorade. We had chunky, one cup of soup. It was like liquid soup was their meal. That's it. And like a... a loaf of bread, you take a couple slices. These are big leaguers in the 70s, man. So, yeah, just a nightmare. But I think, you know, you spend that much time with each other, you bring in the right people. And I think a guy like David Peralta, I think a guy like Luis Arraez, and I think a guy like Jackson Merrill, you put those three in the mix. David Peralta, his first day here, I'll never forget. Him walking through the dugout, and you would think, like, hey, man, first day on a new team, I'm just going to keep my head down, kind of fall in line. He was in the dugout beating his chest, beating everybody up. I was like,
he and Arraez are the two like, social butterflies of
now
the team.
Now we're talking, man.
Every locker, say hi to everybody as they come in. But, again, you can't do this without the buy-in of the star long-term sign players like Manny Machado,
sure.
Jay Cronenworth, Fernando Tatis Jr., Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. They were all here last year. Mm-hmm. They all, whatever it was, they got together with Mike Schilt. Yeah, but you had to change it, and it has changed. It's changed completely. And just like when we talked about the buy-in on the approach, sticking with it even when things weren't totally working and they were five games under 500, and they were struggling in the first half of the season, never ruined the chemistry on this team. Last year, it feels like the chemistry was always hanging by a thread. They could never get any momentum going. I would love to know what would have happened last year if they had just had one seven-game winning streak early in the year.
Well, obviously, winning helps.
Yeah.
Like 99% of that, it's a lot easier to be loose and having fun and camaraderie when you're winning.
They never
did that last year, and you mentioned him, but I think Jackson Merrill deserves so much credit because it just looks like, not that they weren't having fun before Jackson Merrill got there, but I really feel like he's got some leadership qualities to him, but he's out there having so much fun.
Well, that and the
I
fact
think these
that
older guys are like, yeah, that's right, man.
Well,
like, we're on baseball cards. We're in video games. We get the superstar treatment, but this is fun.
Don't forget, dude, that when a rookie comes in and is playing better than you, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. And you're like, I gotta get my ass in gear, man. I can't get shown up by a 21-year-old that doesn't know S from Shinola. He's playing a new position.
It's not like a grudge thing.
It's not a grudge thing
at all. Think about Jerickson Profar heading into the season. He's like, I'm on a prove-it deal, $1 million.
No doubt.
And we got this rookie who hasn't even played in the outfield yet, and he's going to be lining up next to
me
now.
And the other thing, too, that you can't not mention is Mike Schilt. You have to mention Mike Schilt. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you guys do this.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Do you guys think about the Padres winning a World Series and what would happen after the special that they would make about it, like the 30 for 30, not a 30 for 30, but like the DVD, remember they used to do DVDs that come out, right?
Yeah.
And I think about it a lot. I do. My brain's wired that way to go back and watch the highlights of the season. And I think you would have to put in montages of Mike Schilt getting up in front of the media after a 6-1 loss and defending his team. And I think you would have to put Mike Schilt on there defending his team's effort every day this season. Really, every single day this season. As much as I've goaded him to try to get him to say one even half-assed negative thing about his team, he won't do it. He won't do it. And you're telling me that doesn't have an effect in the clubhouse? Of course it does. So he deserves a lot of credit there, too.
If I'm the director of 30 for 30, I start
with Ben and Woods in the morning,
I start at the end of last season, the disappointment and everyone going their kind of separate ways, going, what went wrong? What happened here? And then I pick it up at Camp 44.
I think you put Peter
Joe
in there.
Musgrove in the offseason.
Peter's part of that beginning.
That's definitely
story,
part of it.
Because it was a really bad season followed by the worst news in November.
Correct.
Well, I see so many questions leading into the season.
I see a lot of people bringing up the name Juan Soto, and I understand why you'd go there. But it doesn't always make easy sense, because if you look at this year's Yankees team, I think they'd mostly agree. Chemistry has upticked since he got there.
It has.
They have played. They underperformed last year. He's joined the team. They have blossomed with Juan Soto on their team. You can't just simply say, oh, the Padres got rid of a cancer in Juan Soto. It doesn't work that way,
Josh
necessarily.
Hader may be a different story.
Maybe.
Though. That was one, and somebody brought it up in the chat. There were a lot of passive-aggressive comments about him last year. A lot. Now, when you look back and you go, oh, okay.
Didn't Joe have one?
Adam says Soto did not deliver He did. Oh, he did deliver, just not how you wanted. Yeah, I mean, he was the best offensive player we had last year by far. So, not probably up to his standards by any stretch, but and certainly not what we expected. But yeah, I think they've lost the right pieces and they've gained the right pieces. You know, the guys that they got back, the Higgies, the Michael Kings. Those guys have been nails for us this
year. And so many of them have added. Even if it's a small piece like Peralta or Solano or a bigger piece like Merrill or Profar, pretty much every addition that A.J. Preller has made has been a positive, both production-wise and chemistry-wise.
No
doubt. All right, this is an interesting topic. I'm sure Brett Boone can add to the conversation on chemistry. He will join us, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, our weekly segment with Booney, coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's Big League Wednesday here on Ben and Woods. And don't forget, we still have Jesse Agler coming up at 9 o'clock
for
the Incorporator and a Rindle Report. Welsh Fryer in studio. It's been a very busy Wednesday for no game on a Tuesday. Padres back in action tonight against the Detroit Tigers at 6:40. But standing by, our friend Brett Boone. We'll get to our Brett Boone conversation right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we're joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. Told you I've been getting a lot of Instagram ads for Grainger lately.
Yeah,
with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the notable names from MLB and around sports every week. Good morning, Brett.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you, Booney?
I'm doing good.
I got to ask you about what went down last night with the Yankees and Clay Holmes. His, you know, your brother is the manager. 11 blown saves for Clay Holmes this year. Now, my question is more to you, a guy that played a position, and I know how you feel, pitchers. I know how you feel. You've made it very clear over the years how you feel about pitchers. How frustrating is that to have a lead, and that happens to you 11 times? And when should a manager, you don't have to throw your brother under the bus, when should a manager look to make a change? Is 11 too many?
Well, you're correct about me and pitchers don't care for them. But no, in all seriousness, when you're getting to this stage of the season and you look at the Yankees, they're a playoff team.
Yep.
They're kind of cemented themselves. They're going to the postseason. And you know, you feel for your closer. You feel there is no ill will when that happens. We know how hard this is. It's almost like, oh, when I'm not getting the big hit, when I'm not getting it done at crunch time offensively, you feel like everybody's looking at you. But, you know, I felt nothing through those years, through those good years, through those bad years. Your teammates are there with you and they feel it because they're in that fight with you every day and they know how hard it is. So offensively, yeah, it's frustrating. But it's the same thing. You know, here's an example. I've had years where it seems like one of our starters, every time he pitches, we just don't give him any run support.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody feels worse than the offensive players. And then all of a sudden it becomes a mental thing. And as the season goes on, it's like, we got to get some hits. We got to drive, you know, we got to score some runs for our guy today. And it seems to get worse and worse.
It's the worst.
Clay Holmes. And I was thinking about this yesterday. With the DJ LeMahieu, who's been a big part of that organization for a long time. He's got two batting titles to his credit. Guys like that, when you are a playoff team, when you're going to the playoffs, has been top, you know, one of the best records in baseball all year. You as a manager have the luxury of giving these guys a long leash. You know, you sit there, and probably in New York right now, what's DJ LeMahieu doing? What's Holmes doing closing?
Definitely.
You have that luxury because you know Holmes has got you. Watch Holmes pitch. I watch him pitch now as a hitter. I don't want to grab a bat.
Yeah.
He's got nasty stuff, and you know that, and he's been a successful closer. All of a sudden, he's having a tough time, and it becomes mental. But the manager has that option of having a long leash when you're winning games. Now, if they weren't winning games and they're fighting for a wild card spot, well, then what happens, happens. DJ LeMahieu probably wouldn't be playing ever.
There.
And they would have probably been exploring closer options at the trade deadline. But it's a different scenario. These guys are top of the league. They've been leading that league, or you know, they're doing well. One of the best records in baseball. Aaron has that luxury of letting these guys play it out, letting these guys that have a track record see if they can right the ship by playoff time. Now, if Holmes gets to a point, it's 3 weeks from now, it's the same thing. He's blowing saves. Well, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I think you give him the benefit of the doubt because of his body of work. And I was looking at that bullpen. Who do you go to if you don't go to Holmes?
Right.
Canale, maybe? Is that his name? How I pronounce it? He's got the stuff to do it.
Oh, Canley?
But is he ready to – yeah.
Yeah, Canley.
Is he ready to step into that spot?
In September, by the way. Yeah, in September. Hey, you're the new closer. That's got to be a tough call.
Or do you do what the Texas Rangers did a year ago? And it was kind of bullpen by committee, and LeClerc ended up emerging as a hero, and they won the World Series. I think that was a perfect storm. The Rangers, I don't think that's necessarily how it plays out every year. But you worry about it when you get there. You get to the playoffs first. You hope he rights the ship and gets his stuff. But I know as a player, when it's been going on this long, believe me, it's becoming a real mental thing for Holmes, because it's not a matter of how good his stuff
right.
is. His stuff is spectacular.
Well, we saw the Diamondbacks made the change at closer fairly recently from Seawald to Justin Martinez. The results have been really good for them. But I think if I was ever a major league manager, which I won't be, but the one thing that would keep me like up the most is knowing when to stick with a guy who's slumping, whether it's a batter or a pitcher, knowing baseball's hard and you got to be patient, because you can't just be yanking guys from the lineup after every 0 for 4 or every time they give up 3 runs in an inning, but also not waiting too long and going, at some point I do have to pull the trigger and make a change, send a guy down, change my lineup. Brett, where do you fall in the line between the patience and action if you're a skipper?
I have to take everything in consideration. I have to take who's the player, what's the situation, how is my team playing, and actions will come from all those things as a whole. I can't it's not the same answer for every team.
Right.
You know, I think, like I said, if you're fighting for a player, you got to do what you got to do to find a way to get a seat at the table in the postseason. If you're cruising and your team's playing really well and you're going, you have the luxury of not having to make these snap jaw decisions on the fly. It's almost like the teams that are fighting to get there, it's almost like they're in playoff mode now, where there is no tomorrow. You've got to make decisions that guarantee you that you win this game. And then there's other teams that have the luxury of almost the end of spring training. Like, yeah, of course we want to win every night, but we're in, and I've just got to get my team right, get my team healthy going into the postseason. So there's so many different scenarios that play into the decision-making process. Who is the player? Is he a rookie with no track record, or is he a four-time All-Star that I know eventually is going to come around? All these things have to be accounted for before you make a decision.
Booney, let me ask you this. I love when we have you on, because I love asking you from the player's perspective, talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning. Was there a time in your career where if you got shuffled in a lineup, it would really bother you? Every player's different, right? We've talked to Jake Cronenworth. He's like, I'll hit 3, I'll hit 7, I'll hit 9. I don't care. I just want to be in the lineup, help the team win. Then there's other people, I really don't like to hit 2. I like to hit 3. I get my numbers at 3. I don't like to hit 1. When you came up, I mean, I'm looking at your career numbers, bro. There's a pretty good stretch there of 20 plus pops every year. And, you know, if the skipper came and he said, Booney, I'm going to slide you down to the 6. Is that something that you're like, huh, really? Or are you like, whatever you need, Skip?
Oh, absolutely. No, you're right on. I mean, the Cronenworth's probably saying the right thing. But you look at Cronenworth and you look at this lineup. There's some guys in that lineup that kind of, all right, Cronenworth, you know, you kind of have to do what you got. You kind of have to do what you got to do. I've been at that stage of my career where it's like, man, some years, Woodsy, I felt lucky. Ew, just as long as I have a uni in my locker tomorrow, way up.
You're like, I got them all fooled.
Right. But then there's stretches in my career where, you know, I was the 3-hole hitter. And heck yeah, if the skipper came to me and hit me 5th, I might go, wait a minute. What's going on? I'm the 3-hole hitter here. I'll give you a good example. It happened to me. I believe it was 2004, 2005. I was coming off some really big years, and I was starting to get to the end of my career. I was starting to get a little bit older. You know, you don't want to admit it at the time, But I remember they came in, and it was a big deal because Raul Ibanez came back to the Mariners. Love Raul. And they were going to hit him third. And that was my hole. And I'm going, wait a minute. You don't just move me out of the, you know, I'll get it going again. And you're fighting, and you're like, I kind of know I'm getting older and I'm not the guy I was 2 years ago, but that's my three hole. So, yes, your ego definitely takes a hit. At the end of the day, you get it right. You still have to be a pro. When the game starts, it doesn't matter where you're hitting. You got to have a good attitude and do whatever you can to help that team win. But definitely egos are touched. You know, we have egos as players, and probably they're the biggest when you're in your heyday and getting things done and playing really well. Yeah, you definitely have an ego. All of us do. And sure, the little thing like moving you from four to five, from five to six, initially it really hurts. And you don't walk around the clubhouse yelling at people, but inside you're going, damn, how can they move me down there? And, you know, you're out to prove that you're going to move me back into that three hole when I show you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
So am I a naive? Am I naive, Booney, when I say that when Crony told me that he was lying to me? Am I naive? I believed it when he said it. And I, knowing him a little bit, I kind of believe it, that he's like, whatever, wherever you want to
like
play.
I feel like Jake has to pinch himself sometimes. I'm in a lineup with Manny and Tatis and Zabogarth, and I'm hitting third most days.
Yeah.
Right. No. I'll tell you, I don't know, because you never know until you're in that clubhouse. But I think the players today, it's a little bit different. That three hole today is kind of on some teams considered the two hole.
Right.
Where your best hitter. You know, you go to the LA Dodgers, you got Mookie Betts leading off. So it's not like it used to be where that three and four hole mode, those were the coveted holes. That's where the guys, your big boys hit every night, was three and four. So those were a little more looked upon. Today it's a little bit different. You have random guys hitting in random situations, and a lot of times they like to have their big boys in the 1-2 hole.
Sure.
So the dynamic changed, but yeah, as players, we kind of like to come to the ballpark, look at that lineup, and line up.
For sure.
And yeah, everybody has but you also have to look yourself in the mirror. What kind of team am I on? Who are the players surrounding me? When I came to the big leagues, it was Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner, and they were all raking, all driving in 130 runs. And they said, Booney, where do you want to hit? I said, obviously, I'm going to hit in three hole. Now, I was kidding at the time. I hadn't done anything yet. But you got to know your place. Like, right now, I'm not going to hit third with Edgar and Griffey and Buhner. I'm probably going to hit seventh. And that's the way it was. But when you earn your stripes and when you prove that you have the ability to hit in that three hole, yeah, it becomes an ego thing where I want to hit third because I deserve to hit third, you know, and we all get caught up in it. But at the end of the day, it's about winning games.
Talking to Odyssey Insider Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. And before you joined us, we were having a conversation about chemistry and how much better it is on the Padres this year than it was last year, even though mostly the same players. And wanted to get your perspective on what makes good and bad chemistry, experiences you had with it. I mean, do you feel like guys have to do things off the field together for good chemistry, or is that superfluous? It's all in the clubhouse. What's your philosophy on making a good chemistry for a baseball team?
Okay. I thought chemistry was a bunch of garbage. I never believed in it until I got to Seattle in 2001. That changed my mind. Chemistry to me is not about the off the field stuff, going to dinners, you know, kumbaya, going, you know, frat brothers. No, that's not it at all. It's coming to the game and genuinely pulling for your teammate. And when I say genuinely, people think, oh, you always pull for your teammate. Not always. I felt a lot of times the guys were pulling against me.
Ben, you would have been a great baseball player.
When you generally come to the ballpark and pull for the guy hitting in front of you, for the guy hitting behind you, when you're on the bench and you're not coming up for five spots, you're genuinely pulling for that guy, that's chemistry. Playing the game right, that creates chemistry. Moving a runner over so the next guy can hit a sac fly and drive in a run, that's chemistry, because then he's going to do it for the next guy after that. But to be honest with you got to have talent. Talent's what wins. And now you add chemistry to that, now you got something really special. I think the Padres do have that. I played for the 99 Braves. Chemistry, we were fine. Got along. I really liked the guys from our 99 Braves team, and we were great. And we would, Bobby Cox used to say, put the lineup up, and I want you to go steamroll your opponent. And that's what we did. We were very workmanship. It was very lunchbox to work, and we had a ton of talent. We won 104 games, went on to the World Series and lost. That 2000 Mariners, although we didn't finish the deal, that's chemistry like I've never seen. Genuinely, I think on that team, all 25 guys on any given evening, I wouldn't mind going to dinner with any of them. And that's a reach, because that's the only team I've ever been on. You know, you play from 7 to 10 every night. You go to war with these guys. But then you pick your friends after the game. And every team I've ever been on, I pick my friends after the game. But that 2001 team, there was something special about it, where any mix, any group of guys could go out, and they really genuinely got along. And that's because they really genuinely were pulling for one another once their game started. It's nothing I've ever seen before. It was a special, special time.
Booney, great job as always. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
That was
elite.
MLB Insider Brett Bone Insider Calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. What he was describing, though, genuinely pulling for your team, is what fans do every day. We may not love every player on the team, but even when your least favorite player comes up, you're still hoping, hey, they get a hit and get, you know, move the runners over and try to help your team win.
Since Twitter was invented, I really feel like that's changed. Hmm. We all had those guys growing up that you're like, oh, man, if they could, we'll take a bag of rocks for this guy. Then he comes through and you're like, about time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that there's a little toxicity that's in there, which is, you know, it's fine. It's fine. But I love that. What a great hit.
But essentially, he's saying you just have to be a fan of your own team.
Yeah.
You know, like a real fan. Like, you may not be in the lineup that day, but you're pulling for everybody. And that's what people feel in a dugout, in a clubhouse, that everyone just wants everybody to do well, which is hard, because when you're a fan, no one's stealing your spot because they had a three-for-four day and now I'm on the bench again and it's going to cost me in free agency next year. You're just happy your team won.
It should be that way.
There's more dynamics, though, with the players.
It's true.
All right, Jesse Agler is coming up next. Voice of the Padres on a very busy Wednesday. Get to the Incorporator and more when we come back. Final hour on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.